right, here we go. Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. September 24th, 2023. So all of the 923 stuff seems to have once again fizzled out, so to speak. Now, today's Yom Kippur, 924, which is the 33. And you add the 2023, that's a 7. So you got the 6 from the 33 and the 7. You had a big 13 today, a 33 and a 13. I thought, you know, something big could happen. But we've got some other dates coming up. 927 being a 36. You know, but today being Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Very fascinating. You'll hear me. Well, I'm going to save that for the top of the second hour because it's quite fascinating. But when we hear this, we'll hear some music at the top of the second hour. I guess I'll segue into that. So the demoralization operations continue with a heightened acceleration. You've got these little hearings that went on with the little rat, Merrick Garland, he goes way back, you know, and even people on the bigger platforms, like Robert Barnes talking about Merrick Garland and really getting into his resume on InfoWars this week, really connecting him with some of the stuff like Oklahoma City and so forth. And so, I mean, these guys, these Eric Holders, these Merrick Garland types, they go way back into the bowels of the Clinton administration. And, you know, for those of us that were alive, you know, it's funny watching these younger kids, like these podcasters and so forth, the Tim Pools of the world and so forth, that weren't really around with Howard Stern when he was at his kind of apex. You know, you've got to be basically in your at least late 40s, you know, to remember E! Entertainment Television, where Stern was basically doing the radio show via video a long time ago. You know, Jones copied Stern pretty much, you know, and Rush Limbaugh was doing it for a long time, but you know, Stern was doing that stuff on E! A long, long time ago, 1992 and 1993 maybe. And so you have to be old enough to have kind of been paying attention. But, you know, Trump throws Stern under the bus today. This whole meltdown with Stern, the guy, he's getting old. He lost it. He's still over there on Sirius, I guess, and had that huge contract when he left terrestrial radio and went on to Sirius. And he didn't have to deal with so much of the, I guess, FCC. But, you know, they were giving him a break. I mean, this Jewish, well, him and Don Imus, remember the nappy-headed hose comment from Don Imus that got him in trouble? So Stern, he really seemed to just kind of, as far as call himself king of all media and the private parts movie and all that stuff. You know, those of us that are old enough, we were around to witness the cultural collapse that Stern really was at the forefront of bringing on with the mainstreaming of pornography and bringing on all these porn girls onto his broadcast and having them do all this crazy stuff and the guys from Jackass. And, you know, I was digging around just kind of on YouTube and Steve-O from Jackass and all these guys are talking about Stern. And, well, Stern really went into this thing with this COVID operation. And maybe this is some sort of an act. Maybe it's not. I don't know. He's Jewish. The whole COVID thing was run by Jews. I mean, top to damn bottom. I mean, Fauci, of course, is a Jesuit apparatchik, but Jews were at the forefront of this whole thing with all these companies and the CDC and everything else. And so it was kind of a hybrid Vatican II, Pope Francis, Jesuit gang, and all the Jewish mobsters ran this thing on the world. I mean, the Vatican was right at the forefront right there with Israel. Be part of the Vatican City, state. You had to get the quaxine, all the... I mean, think about the implosion of the priesthood that's going to happen at the hands of the Jesuits and Pope Francis. Getting all these guys shot up. Now, look, it could have been the same thing as with the Israelis. Who knows? And I've ad nauseum kind of speculated about this. Who knows what the batches are that went to Israel versus went to the Goyim? And the same with the Jesuits and the priesthood. Who knows what kind of batches that they gave them, especially with them being so intimately involved in all this. So, you know, it would be interesting if we could get some statistics out of the Vatican as far as, you know, letting like Ed Dowd and these guys kind of study mortality and disability and all these things. Kind of fascinating. So we're on Yom Kippur and Garland whining about the Holocaust because he was getting put on the hot seat. So I'm sure you guys have all seen this one bust out. So Biden pushing illegal breach of constitution with new executive level anti-gun office. Okay. So, you know, this whole push, the creation of the Office of Gun Violence Prevention, which will coordinate with radical anti-gun Michael Bloomberg and other rabid anti-gun nuts. Per the Washington Post, the new office will report up through Stephanie Feldman. Oh, that sounds real goyish, doesn't it? Feldman, the White House staff secretary and longtime Biden policy aide, has worked on the firearms issue for years. I bet you little red. Bet you the little red Jewess has worked on firearms issue for years. The office will also be connected to the Second Amendment hating Community Justice Action Fund and Every Town for Gun Safety. Extremist Shannon Watts, founder of Moms Demand Action, praised Biden's unconstitutional gun grabbing plan, saying if this announcement is in fact the creation of a single point of leadership on gun violence in the administration, it's a very big deal for the government. And blah, 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 blah. And, you know, Camel Toe is involved, and she's going to be the new point person on this, just like she is the sieve that we call the southern border. And so this made things pop into my head. Okay, the creation of this Office of Gun Violence Prevention. And you know what popped into my head? A big false flag shooting incoming ASAP. And this is going to be a bad one. This one's going to really tear at the heartstrings of the nation, especially the zombified tools watching TV news. You know, some people, their whole life, those that are older, of their whole life they spent trusting that box that sits on their mantle for information. And, you know, Sandy Hook everybody, you know, really wanted to, you know, use that in the Rahm Emanuelian fashion. Wow, I just thought up a new word instead of Orwellian, Emanuelian. Anyway, Emanuelian fashion, never let a good crisis go to waste. And so I have this foreboding sense that with this creation of this office, they're going to have to baptize it in a blood sacrifice very soon. And so keep your eyes peeled for some sort of a Sandy Hook Part 2 op. And I don't know how many people that they're going to butcher, but it's probably going to be very high. And whether they go for kids again, that would be my guess. Or some sort of a sporting event, mass casualty type thing at a sporting event or something of this nature. People in the stands, and somebody goes with some sort of a silencer and a, just, you know, fish in a barrel type scenario. I could see that. And so just a warning out there. So I'm just going to, you know, it's 11 after. So I'm going to kind of segue now into kind of the tea leaves I'm reading out here that's making, it's kind of making headway into the bigger sites. So, Mr. Producer, get clip one ready. You know, Greg Reese over there at InfoWars, he's kind of been given the, I think, leeway, or Alex and company over there were like, okay, you, Greg, with your videos, because a lot of people pay attention to them and they get shared on other platforms, like big time on BitChute and elsewhere. You can do this stuff that's floating around in the murky, let's just say, bowels of alternative media that sometimes I don't think, you know, Schroyer or Jones want to touch. And so he's digging into the remote viewers. And of course, he picked up this week and really boosted into the kind of stratosphere, the whole stuff that, you know, that many of us have been covering with Todd Callender and kind of his premonition that possibly some sort of a cell phone 5G, let's just say, frequency burst to set off payloads into people that have taken these injections and then cause some sort of a Marburg, a hemorrhagic thing, a zombie thing, or what have you. So let's listen to a few minutes of this first clip, and then we'll kind of dissect it a bit, and then we'll move on to the second one. Go ahead and play clip one.
According to the scientific data, nearly all humans have a certain degree of psychic awareness, and some of us become acutely aware of it. The term remote viewing was coined by the U.S. Department of Defense when they began training people in this field. It is the art of viewing an unknown target at any distance within the mind's eye and retrieving accurate data. To refine this data, remote viewers work together as a team and look for redundant data.
When we look at remote viewing data, if one person says something, you know, that's interesting. If two describe the same thing, that's a little more weight. When three or four describe the same thing, we pretty much take that to the bank.
Remote viewing teams such as the Future Forecasting Group work with a double-blind protocol. This means that they do not know where or what the target is. The information they are given is an arbitrarily designated number, such as A9I5-Q7K4. As they blindly view the target in a meditative state of focus, imagery is flashed in the mind and immediately sketched out and collected. The Future Forecasting Group has been successful at predicting the Panama Canal incident, the destruction of the Kakhovka Dam in Ukraine, the Halloween stampede in South Korea, police violence at the Canadian trucker protest, and many others, which can all be found at futureforecastinggroup.com. The Future Forecasting Group was recently assigned the target of the next financial crisis, but the entire team was all distracted by overpowering images of a catastrophic event. They all saw the same thing: massive explosions with multiple points of impact, small particles and debris falling from the sky, people sick with cesium, which is the most dangerous of all radioactive isotopes used in dirty bomb scenarios. They saw police checkpoints, people seeking shelter underground, and an exodus of sad-looking people. Remote viewing goes back in the written record for millennia and has been repeated in the current scientific record for decades. According to this body of work, most people are able to do this. And this is why Cliff High's predictive linguistics program works. By reading the entirety of human language across the World Wide Web, the program will list repeated words and phrases in all languages, creating a macroscopic view of what everyone is talking about. So if all humans are psychic, whether they know it or not, then you would see it in the collective chatter. Especially for traumatic events, the bigger the trauma, the more people would be emoting their anxiety online. And key words can be found, such as the word ejecta, which has been showing up in Cliff High's work, which shows the same event.
My data has very rarely had this particular set of words show up in it, and one of it was ejecta. Ejecta, as though...
And that was in our remote viewing data, like, yeah.
Predictive linguistics reveals a time frame of when a big event happens at the point in time when the tension language ends and the release language begins. The tension language is the psychic awareness before an event, and the release language is the event itself as everyone is made aware. Based on this, Cliff High sees this event happening near the end of the year. Both the predictive linguistics and the future forecasting group saw that this was a decision that was made by some faction of government, and they propose that if enough eyes are on the powers that be, then maybe it will never happen.
We are in this period of time that I call uncertainty, okay? And throughout, from here to the event is an uncertain period of time in which we will feel uncertainty as we move towards this event. But I'm of the opinion that we can do things now that will alter the potential future that would arise. And so people out there, I'm of the opinion that if we got enough people to talk about this and know about this, it would make both of us into bullshitters because it wouldn't happen.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg
stop
Reese.
It there. So, you know, Dick Allgaier and all the stuff that Jeff Rentz has covered with him all these years, and some people in, like, let's say, Christian and Islamic communities are very leery of this stuff. They think it's somehow almost the possibility of, you know, kind of a second sight type thing, dealing with, let's just say, hidden entities that are giving these people information. And I am kind of, let's just say, I just want to say that, especially the remote viewing thing, I think it could be a dangerous, spiritually dangerous endeavor or undertaking. It's kind of like yoga. You're dealing with like a Hindu opening yourself up to the possibility of being influenced by spirit beings, which might not be benevolent. Accuracy wise, it's pretty crazy, but you know that you have warnings in the scriptures about kind of psychic mediums and this sort of thing. So it's a very strange, thin kind of line folks and are dealing with this are walking. If you're not somebody that's a believer or whatever, you know, and you, then you're going to have a completely different viewpoint on that. And that's okay. You know, we're all grown ups here, and I'm not going to sit here and, you know, you're evil because, you know, I'm not going to do that. But, you know, there are warnings, and it's just kind of crazy, you know, that, man. And look, there's so much. I could feel this energy or whatever you want to talk about it. There's so many people warning about so many different things, the financial front and the war front and the schemer plotter front and what kind of ops that they have planned, and you know, whether the Russians, you know, the Russian state is off the leash, or whether it is it's under the leash of the world controllers. You know, you get pushed so far, and you could definitely see some sort of a massive attack. And there are warnings, you know, in the scriptures. And if you definitely believe, like in Jeremiah, like 50 and 51, and the Revelation, and that applies to this country, you know, we're in big trouble. And, you know, look, I go through waves of ups and downs with this, where I'm like, you know, I get to the point where I'm like, I'm powerless to really change this big stuff. And why am I sitting here giving it my energy and just live your life and try to be a decent human being, and what's going to come is going to come. But the other part is, you know, if I'm not trying to occupy and influence others, then I'm not, you know, doing my part and trying to awaken folks and keep, and not in the woke sense, but in the awakened sense of spiritual and national realities that we're facing here. I mean, you can't let millions of people just walk into your country and think, especially so many of them coming from more or less authoritarian systems that many of them, which might have been ordered to come here by their authoritarian leaders, especially guys like Maduro and so forth. You know, these, you got a lot of Marxists in Central and South America, and they could be like, hey, get up there. We got an agenda to fulfill here. Where is this one at? I got to find it. Now, this is up on Sorcha. Okay, what does it mean? And this you could really kind of go into a lot of directions with this. Americans fail to comprehend Russian holy war, southern border invasion. Okay. So this, they get into this whole thing about just war and the Orthodox Church of Russia and the main church of the Russian armed forces. Okay, it was dedicated in June of 2022. And it says, and this is out of theconversation.com, Putin and the head of the Russian Church, Patriarch Kirill, have resurrected the ideas about empire for the 21st century in the form of the Russian world, giving new meaning to a phrase that dates to medieval times. For church and state, the idea of Russian world encompasses a mission of making Russia a spiritual, cultural, and political center of civilization to counter the liberal secular ideology of the West. This vision has been used to justify policies at home and abroad. And then it gets into a law or decree entitled Strategy of National Security of the Russian Federation. Okay. So, and it gets into all this stuff, okay? National defense, Russia in the modern world, and all, and it gets into some of the fine points of it. And so, so it gets into the kind of angle that, you know, Putin and his forces are genuine holy warriors dedicated to protecting Christianity. Well, a lot of people have a lot of different thoughts on whether Putin is really an Orthodox Christian or whether he is acting a part and so forth and so on. But it gets into the aspect that socialist indoctrinated Americans are failing to comprehend the Russia holy war invasion of their southern border because it goes against the leftist media narrative and whose Biden regime propagandists drowning in Marxist ideology have no actual knowledge of past or present to understand what President Putin's doing, even though he's made no secret his full and total intention to destroy the godless West before they can destroy Christianity. And it gets into this 154th, and I don't even want to try to, Preobrazhensky regiment comprised of the elite Alpha Group commandos. And Western intelligence experts warn Alpha Group is part spy network, part counterterrorism team. And it's been no surprise that since Biden opened up the southern borders of America, an unlimited amount of money has flooded into every Russian allied nation in the world to pay for military age men to travel to Mexico, then cross the southern border into the United States, specifically Venezuela, who's very tight with Russia, by the way. Today, it was beyond all belief reported the Biden administration said late Wednesday it will allow hundreds of thousands of Venezuelans already in the United States to live and work legally in the country for 18 months. And shockingly revealed the Biden administration is gearing up to give photo IDs to illegal border crossers who are released into the U.S. And so they're trying to build up this whole narrative that this is a Russian-sponsored kind of invasion of the United States in order to save Christianity. And it's not to – and basically the Marxists in the United States, the traitors, which have totally dominated the – Democratic Party now, and then a good half of the Republican Party. It's trying to say that Putin's sending these guys up here to save Christianity rather than, yeah, we've got a bunch of traitors that are letting all these people in on purpose. Basically, collapse the United States and then have this world totalitarian system built where it's going to be multipolar, Russia, China, what's left of the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, and so forth. So, very crazy. We'll see you guys on the other side.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We're back. Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Now, let's segue from that kind of little report that I was reading into the type of people that we have in our government. So whether you think, I lean towards the fact that we've got so many traitors in our midst in places in the de facto regime, not the de jure regime, this de facto regime, that now it's just open season. Now it's time to dismantle the whole thing and bring forth the new world system. Now, and then I saw this last week, but I didn't get to it. One theory as to where Joe Biden got his fake names. Basically, this was up on American Thinker, one theory as to where Joe Biden got his fake names. And this was pre-dementia. This was, you know, while he was vice president and all that. So he was probably slipping, but, you know, now you know, there's people posting, stuff that one of Biden's body doubles gets basically seen walking to his car without Secret Service protection type stuff. You're seeing all this crazy stuff in some of these dubious websites. Okay. So, but this was while he's vice president. Okay. So, as the House Oversight Committee recently revealed, President Biden used at least three aliases in his email correspondences. The major media, probably out of ignorance, missed the likely code embedded in those names. In the Time magazine, for instance, Brian Bennett wrote Joe Biden used Gmail addresses with the name Robin Ware, W-A-R-E 456. You know, his middle name's Robinette. And J.R.B. Ware, W-A-R-E, during his time as vice president. So that was probably before. So, you know, there's all them stories about Biden being a total creep when he was vice president. We see all the videos of him groping all the kids. And then they're saying that he wanted to swim around naked and all this stuff. And the Secret Service guys wanted to beat his tail because he was always trying to mess with their wives at functions and all this, to where basically nobody wanted to bring their significant other around the guy. He's such a creep. He also used a government-issued PCI.gov account with the name Robert L. Peters, which we all that blew up all over the place. Bennett's article is titled, "Here's What We Know About the Email Alias Joe Biden Used While Vice President." But Bennett does not even guess at the meaning of the chosen names. I suspect Bennett does not know who Whitaker Chambers is, and I would bet my house to his mailbox that he hasn't read Chambers' masterful autobiography, Witness. As a quick refresher, during the 1930s, Chambers, an American citizen, organized spy rings of up-and-coming New Dealers eager to help him serve his Soviet masters. So we know the New Dealers, that's all FDR and all them creeps in the FDR administration. In Witness, Chambers recounts how he came to see the errors of his ways. Upon being called to testify before the House Un-American Activities Committee post-war, Chambers named names, the most prominent among them being Alger Hiss, a high-ranking State Department official and the first Secretary General of the UN. Of course, we know Hiss was a Soviet spy. As a result of Chambers' revelation and his own hubris, Hiss was tried and convicted of perjury and served nearly 4 years in federal prison. They were still soft back then. The DOJ and all that stuff was tainted. You had a two-tier justice system back then. The Democrat media complex never forgave Chambers of his champion in the House, Richard Nixon, or his champion in the House, Richard Nixon, for bringing Hiss to justice. If Bennett does not know about Chambers, Biden certainly appears to. One need only look at Chambers' page in Wikipedia, the scourge of right-wing conspiracy theories, to see the likely source of the Biden code. Chambers' main handler was Joseph Peters. Chambers claimed that Peters introduced him to Harold Ware, W-A-R-E, and that Ware was head of a communist underground cell in Washington. It would seem far more likely than not that the names Peters and Ware were chosen consciously. Based on his policies and performance, it seems altogether that J.R.B., Joseph Robinette Biden, Ware, sees himself as the head of a communist underground cell in Washington in the spirit of his namesake. Kind of an interesting angle there, especially with all the things we're seeing coming out of the Catholic Church and so forth, and the Jesuits and them showing their true colors. You know, everybody wanted to say how fascist the Jesuits were and all that stuff. But they were running a dialectic in World War II, and it seems like they were a bunch of crypto Jews the whole time, set up the German nation to get butchered. And much of decent Italians and so forth. And of course, Spain. And of course, look what happened to Japan. But it's just interesting to see all that. So let's see here. Claudia Sheinbaum. Gotta love this. This off the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, is on track to become Mexico's first Jewish and woman president, Claudia Sheinbaum. So wait a minute. All the millions and millions of Mexican people in that huge country, and a shine bomb is about to become the president. Can you believe it? This is the power that this gang has over the world. And I'm just going to read out a little bit of this. The way things stand now, Mexico is headed to elect its first woman president next year. The two leading candidates of polls for 2024 election are Claudia Sheinbaum, Mexico City's former mayor, and Xochitl Galvez, a senator representing the center-right opposition bloc. So obviously she's on the Marxist left part of this political spectrum. How surprising. The polls point out another first. Sheinbaum, currently the front runner, become the country's first Jewish president, too. Now, I had a bunch of stuff about all these cryptos in Mexico over the years, and I didn't get to it last week, and I don't have it pulled up. But there's a whole story about with all the conversos and Marranos out of Spain, tons of those people came into Mexico, and they've been there since the Spanish, move through Central and South America. Early this month, Sheinbaum, 61, was announced as a candidate for the left-wing Morena Party, which has been led by the country's outgoing president, AMLO, Obrador. Since then, her momentum has only grown. A poll taken by the El País newspaper has 47% of voters supporting her, while Galvez, her closest competitor, notched 30%. If elected, Sheinbaum, will join the ranks of the few Jews outside Israel who have been elected to their country's highest office, including Janet Jagan of Guyana, Ricardo Maduro of Honduras, isn't that nice, Pedro Pablo Kaczynski of Peru, and Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine. Oh, isn't this nice? And, just to touch on Zelensky for a second and his persecuting of the Orthodox clergy and the disbanding of the Orthodox Church, who do you think also loves that? The Jesuits and the Roman Catholic Vatican II thuggery gang. They've been at war with the Orthodox Church. And I constantly talk about this, the Great Schism that happened in the 11th century. And, look at it as twofold. The new Khazaria project with Zelensky basically genociding the Slavic stock of the Ukraine, kind of clearing out the land, creating a new little homeland for the Khazarians. And you also have the twofold thing of the Jesuit war on Orthodoxy. You see, it's a two-pronged thing. Hey, strange bedfellows. And they've got this agenda that, okay, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. And that's what's happening. So Mexico City had a Jewish mayor, female, and now they might have a female Jewish president. Gosh, isn't that nice? And I better watch it. You know why? This is up on Israel 365. Combat anti-Semitism group welcomes Missouri's adoption of the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism. The Combat Anti-Semitism Movement, CAM, has welcomed the decision by Missouri governor. And he's, by the way, he's a squeamish kind of old fart country rhino type. Okay. Missouri Governor Mike Parson to adopt the working definition of anti-Semitism as established by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, IHRA. I thought that was the International Hot Rod Association, damn it. With more than 1,100 global agencies, 40 countries, and 31 U.S. states have also adopted. Governor Parson adopted the IHRA definition, as he also proclaimed September as Jewish American Heritage Month in Missouri. Missouri's own Harry S. Truman was the first world leader to officially recognize Israel as a legitimate Jewish state, and we continue our proud support for members of the Jewish faith today, Parsons said. While we always want to recognize, honor, and appreciate the contributions members of the Jewish faith make to our culture and communities across the state, we especially want to do so during Jewish American Heritage Month. We also want to take this opportunity to equivocally reject anti-Semitism towards Jewish people and bigotry of any kind. Today and every day, we say hate and discrimination have no home in Missouri. And so they say this: we are delighted that Missouri joins a growing family of states who understand the need to adopt tools, which means to squash your constitutional rights to freedom, speech, and association, to fight Jew hatred. Said CAM CEO Sasha Reutemann-Drotwa, our aim is to have every U.S. state adopt the IHR definition, and we are well over halfway to reaching this important target. Isn't that nice? So now we've got old Missouri jumping on the DeSantis Florida-type bandwagon. Isn't that nice? So I'm trying to find the article on the test kits going out. Okay? So let me see here. But basically, you know that the government's about to send out all these damn test kits, right, for COVID. And unfortunately, where did I missed it somehow. But anyway, there are hundreds of thousands of these things are going out, okay? So something popped into my mind once I heard this, because we've all heard about the next phase of this operation to go into gear with some sort of a COVID. Oh, here it is. Okay. Federal government relaunches COVID-19 testing program. Will again launch a program to distribute free COVID-19 home test kits. Okay. We will once again begin our program to provide Americans with an opportunity to request tests, HHS Secretary Becerra said during an event at Washington CVS pharmacy location. Remember I talked about CVS, CV, okay, COVID, whatever, coronavirus, and then S being the 19th letter of the alphabet, CV19 right there in the CVS, one of the biggest pharmacies in the country, where he also took COVID-19 and influenza vaccines. I'm sure they were special ones for him. We want them to be able to use those tests during this viral season. Oh, nice. Fall, winter, respiratory viral season. So the RSV virus vaccines getting added. So starting September 25th, and that no-cost tests will be delivered for free by the Postal Service. If there's a demand for these tests, and this is Assistant Secretary for Preparedness at the HHS, Don O'Connell says, if there's a demand for these tests, we want to make sure that they're made available to the American people for free in this way. You know, people were bringing up, you know, you gave these vaccines out for free. You're going to give these tests away for free. What about diabetic test stuff? What about insulin? What about other stuff that people need? But at this point, our focus is getting through the holidays, make sure folks can take a test if they're going to see grandma for Thanksgiving. The tests are designed to detect COVID-19 variants currently circulating and are intended for use. Oh, currently circulating. And are intended for use by the end of the year. But they will include instructions on how to verify extended expiration dates. 12 manufacturers that employ hundreds of people in 7 states have been awarded funding and will produce 200 million over-the-counter tests to replenish federal stockpiles for government use in 200 million. In addition to producing enough tests to meet demand for tests ordered online, the department said. Think about this. Test kits are going to contain something. Not all 200 million. But you better be, you got 12 manufacturers, right? 12 manufacturers in 7 states. Some of these are going to be like sheep dipped front, like I'm talking DARPA, BARDA, fronts. And my inclination right now is to say some of them are going to actually send people biological warfare agents. And these people are going to use them to test themselves, and they are going to get deathly ill. This is my... That just popped into my head when I'm reading. I was reading this week. I'm like, I'm going to send this one to myself because these bastards are going to send out a bioweapon in the tests, I think. And people are going to be, no, they couldn't. They'd get caught. By who? What labs? You know what I'm saying? What lab's going to, this crazy person's bringing in this test and they say it's, I don't know, man. I think they've got a panopticon level lockdown on labs and all that to where, I don't know, maybe somebody like Mike Adams, if he's legit, should get on this, people with these kind of labs, and be like, okay, have your people from order these things and then send me some of them and we'll see what's in them type stuff. I mean, I don't have any way of, you know, test, but I just have this inclination. And Travis Kelce from the Kansas City freaking Chiefs, he's running around doing this two for one, two things at once video. You'll see it all over the place. I saw it floating around on BitChute and maybe Rumble or Odyssey or something. But you see him. You know, the sports guy, big star tight end for the Chiefs, he's pushing this thing for the CDC or whatever. This loudmouth jerk, Stephen A. Smith, you know, from ESPN, you know, one of the real obtuse, opinionated, my crap don't stink, I know everything about sports, blah, 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 blah. He throws out this first pitch of this Yankees game, and it's damn near as bad as Fauci. Remember when Fauci threw out the pitch? Well, Stephen A. Smith, this legendary in his own mind sportscaster, knows everything about everything at all sports. And this guy didn't even take the chance. I mean, the opportunity to practice for – he said he practiced – but he throws a grounder, basically a one bouncer, to the catcher. So Stephen A., he's going to get raked over the coals over this one, because he talks all this smack about all these people, and the guy threw like a girl. And not anything against girls, but that's just a word that we've always used in, like, if you ever played baseball, you throw like a girl. Anyway, Stephen A. Smith, he deserves to be get raked over the coals. Mr. Producer, get clip five real quick. UFC fighter Bryce Mitchell, and he's made a bunch of crazy comments over, you know, the last few years. He's a trippy dude. But he talks, he fought a Hawaiian guy, okay, just last night in Vegas. And he talks about the Lahaina fires. Go ahead and play clip five. You got five? All right. Okay, he's having some technical issues down there, so no big deal. We'll
children, and I love these people with all my heart, and we have to show Satan that he can do nothing through the power of Christ when we come together.
Let me ask you about your eye. Obviously, Dan connected with a couple of good shots there, opened up a cut above and underneath it. How much did that impair your vision?
Oh, that's a scratch, man. I ain't nothing. I don't know what you're talking about. Hey, also, too, these fires in Hawaii, I don't believe that they were natural. I believe they were man-made. They're trying to take the land from the natives. And I want Dan Ige, a native Hawaiian, to lead this world in prayer against the power of Satan.
Well, congratulations on a great fight.
And then, basically, Michael Bisping, a former UFC champ, he's an ESPN MMA commentator for the UFC. he's just like cut him off. He didn't want to let him have a prayer or nothing. So Bisping's getting raked kind of over the coals by some people in the MMA sector for not letting the dude do a little prayer. But Bryce Mitchell, he said a bunch of stuff about other events in the past. He was talking about COVID stuff, and I mean he's somebody that's in our camp basically, and so he's talked smack on the pedophilia. I think, you know, I'd have to go back into my notes, but I've played his clips of him before. So there's a bunch of these guys that are fighters. When they get done fighting and they get the mic, sometimes they say some interesting things. And so, but anyway, just thought I'd throw that in there while we had time. Now here's one. This is where Swalwell. Brits warn the United States Congress of Chinese spies infiltrating Capitol Hill. Congress is compromised enough without the CCP digging up dirt on members. But anyway, so the CCP has worked to infiltrate every level of U.S. government, blah, 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 for decades, and they're not alone. Dirt on congressmen and senators has been the top goal of many foreign entities. Excuse me. Unlike domestic corporations and special interest groups, these foreign powers have to jump through too many hoops to simply buy politicians. It's easier for them just to infiltrate and compromise them. A report from the Daily Mail says British intelligence is warning Congress about a surge in threats from the CCP. They went so far as to single out Swalwell, who's a notoriously easy target for the CCP. According to the article, British parliamentary researcher with links to members of parliament with classified information was arrested for spying for China. Congress has been infiltrated by Chinese spies attempting to get access to classified information in recent years. You know, we know about Fang Fang and all that. Mike Gallagher, who chairs the House Select Committee on the Communist Party, told Daily Mail that educating members of Congress about the threat of infiltration is critical, especially in the light of the recent UK incident. Well, the UK got a lot of balls to sit there and talk about the Chinese infiltrating every level of the United States government with our little history that we've had with them. Wouldn't you think?
Here at Republic Broadcasting,
I mean, it's just
Network,
crazy. We'll see you on the other side.
Online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.